Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're live and direct here, moving right along in the month. I'm telling you, we're getting right on down to festival time in Andrews, North Carolina. This is September the 20th, the year 2004, and we're live and direct from our flagship station, 100.3 FM, with the additional uplink to satellite, and then into internet, where we go around the globe tonight with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd Scott. We're glad to have you aboard. Now, what we want to do is to take you into the sixth part of Fallen Angels. And by taking you there, we're going to review the last message of part 5, where we started in Genesis chapter 1, and we brought out some what we believe to be very interesting facts about mistranslations in the Bible. Now, we think it's just a word loss. The value of the word has been shifted, and the wrong word applies in Genesis chapter 1, right off the bat, where they begin to talk about certain things in the Bible. This is supposing of the earth, that the earth was long in the past, before Moses, or before Adam, which was just a few thousand years prior to Moses, that the earth was created long before that. And the scientific evidence, the artifacts, just recently, a Russian discovery of a man buried in Siberia, his tomb was found, and he was judged to be, through radio carbon dating techniques, and other things that a lot of experts working on the case said, this gentleman was approximately 52,000 years old. Well, we go back to the slime beds, if you will, in Texas, and the quarries, and the rock formation there and the strata, where we have the imprint, the footprints of both the dinosaur and man on his trail. So, and now that's going back millions of years. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. And you say, well, I don't know. Well, what we're going to talk about here, let me give you something to think about. And this is a refresher off the series we done last night on WWCR 5070 on Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, there's nothing wrong with that statement, because we all believe that, and our Bible would tell us so. And the earth, here's where we begin to think that maybe the word change or the word devaluation here, the wrong word placed, gives us a wrong meaning, and we go away from this verse thinking that the earth, when it was created, was without form and void. And that's not really what that verse of Scripture says in the original. The original, Now, this is Earth is Strong's number 776, which is Erat. And the word was here is the same word that is used in Genesis 19 with Lot and his wife when she was turned to a pillar of salt. Now, we know that here in the 19th chapter, she became a pillar of salt because she wasn't a pillar of salt before she was turned into one. She had to be a human being, normal human being, fleeing for a life, and then look back, made the mistake of actually looking back, probably turn back is a better word. But she became a pillar of salt. That word right there, became, is the same word, Strong's number, now listen to this, 1967 in Hebrew, that is used in Genesis here, chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form. Now that was is past tense. In other words, it was created without form as what this is inferring here. And that's not true. That is the wrong word. It is exactly the same word as Lot's wife. She became a pillar of salt, and here the earth became void after it was created. Now, light created this planet. Light existed long before darkness. Darkness and light has no fellowship, so the Creator, who is light, the Bible said God is light, he actually created the heavens long before Adam came here. You say, well, how could that be? Well, it's because we have a misunderstanding about the broad-based, if you will, broad-brushed basic word scriptures here that is used to inform us of a little narrative about Genesis and creation. Moses, broad brushing this, if he is the author of Genesis, which some suspect he is, however, it's not been confirmed. We know that the book of Job far, far predates Genesis 1 in the past. And all of the experts, the biblical experts that will confirm that. And so then, was there a earth inhabited in good standing, perfect conditions, ideal conditions, that was not void and dark? Did the earth become rather than was? And that's the question here. That word should be become. And the word is haya. Become, and the earth become formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, which came first, light or darkness? In this case, we're made to believe that darkness existed. And if that's true, then God is not light. Because God, the Creator, the Eternal One, the Mighty One, He created everything into existence. And here, the earth was without form and dark and void? No. Now, we've got a problem here. If we would take that word was and interchange it to the proper Hebrew word, become or became, then we could see an evolutionary process of the original earth created perfect. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you this, but the earth is still dark and void. Sin is darkness. Satan is darkness. The children of darkness love darkness. and for the fact that there was a world, a people, an inhabited earth existing before Adam almost just blows the, you know, the circuit boards of most people's spiritually feeble mind, because they have been watered down in these establishments of Christianity to the point that there is no freedom of expression to go in and to do study. They do reading, but they don't do study. Very few people study the Bible. A lot of people read it, and they read it like it has been written in the English language, and there is definitely some problems here. Now, if you go back and look at the problems of, well, let's go to Luke 1. Here in the Gospel of Luke, it says that the days came when Caesar Augustus sent out a decree that all the world would be taxed. Now, you know, if you believe that, then you're going to believe that Caesar was in, you know, I mean, he controlled, and he was the authority, and we had communication. Even the United Nations, which is probably going to take over on this earth, a united one world government. Caesar Augustus did not have, I said it was Luke 1, it's Luke 2, 2 and 1, is where I want you to go if you're going to go down and reference it. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Caesar wasn't in control of all the world. And all of the people that inhabited earth was not under the control of Caesar Augustus, whether he thought so or not. It just wasn't so. They did not have the communication or the logistic abilities to control all the world. They only control the world, and this word, all the world here, is incorrectly translated from the Greek. So we lose the value of the meaning. Caesar just sent out a decree that the regions of the Roman province that they controlled, the Roman government, had access and control, and they would tax the people and exact the taxes and charge them, and then take these taxes and fatten up the coffers of Rome. That was simple. But they didn't control all the world. So this is not true. Caesar Augustus did not send out a decree to all the world. It just isn't so. Now, that goes back to one, Genesis 1, and the became void. If we put that word was out of the text, which is not supposed to be in it, it was put in there through English mistranslation. The Hebrew word is, like I say, the Hebrew word is Strong's number 1961. And it means haya, or become. So the earth was created with light and beauty, because, well, you say, how do you know that, somebody? Well, in the 37th chapter of the book of Job, it says, when the heavens and the earth was created, that's original conception or bringing forth in originality, that the sons of Yah shouted for joy. In Revelations 22, or Revelations 1, it says the same thing. So then, it was pleasing, not dark, void, and formless, and in darkness. And everybody thinks, well, it was just a dark, foreboding place out there when God came on the scene and there was no light. Well, God is light. You can't have it both ways here. It was light that created before darkness perverted it. That's the way that it is in sequence. And if we have the proper translation here, all you got to do in Genesis 1 and 2 is change that word was to became or become. Become or became, either one. It's the same thing. Become formless and dark. Somebody caused darkness to come in prior to Adam. Well, it was Adam. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's plain in 1:26 of Revelation, here in the same chapter, which is an amazing chapter, episode, And we're dealing with the power and the deception of what we've been talking about for the last 6 hours on this subject, the fallen angels. Are they crafty or what? Are they subtle or what? Are they intelligent or what? Are they above man or what? They have a power that I'm telling you is so, well, John, when he saw one, comparable to, now, let me show you what happened to John when he saw the angel in Book of Revelation. He fell at his feet as dead. I mean, he just literally just vibrated plumb out of his mind and went into shock faint, if you have it. In other words, a shutdown. His mind couldn't comprehend the power and the vibrations and stand in the awesome presence of these mighty ones. Well, I hasten to remind you that Gabriel and Michael are the two angels that we're talking about here that had direct relationship to man or humankind, in this case the sons of Adam, and the offspring of Adam to Israel. Most of them were interconnecting or sourcing, if you will, outsourcing their powers and spiritual wisdom and correction and messages from the eternal throne of heaven, which is nothing more than a planet of intelligent ones who vibrate or operate on a different dimensional frequency than we do here. And so it is that when they come in our presence, Jeremiah said, when I saw the presence of the Lord, he said, my bones did shake. And I'm telling you, it is an awesome feeling I have encountered through some past association with visitations, that some of the things that I've encountered would correspond to some of the biblical accounts that I've read and studied about, and it is an awesome experience. No wonder Jeremiah said all my bones shake and are out of joint. John fell at his feet. He said, well, think about this now. Here's the point is I'm going to get you to see this angel of darkness. Now, remember, he only masquerades as an angel of light. Yes, he's been in the presence of God. He walked among the stones of fire. He is a mighty one. And did you know that Daniel, when he was confronted, or he was brought, he was praying, and he was fasting, and he had tremendous amount of faith and ability and spiritual application to know how to get his prayer through. And yet Satan withstood him for 21 days. And it actually took Gabriel and the assistance of Michael to remove the presence of the Dark One, the one that we're talking about here in Genesis 1. This Dark One, the earth was void. Something came out of balance. Something corrupted through the presence of someone that came here and did something. The earth responded in its vibrational magnetic field. It responded negative to whatever happened back there in Genesis 1 and 2, which is the process of time. It became dark and it became void and it became a fallen state for a presence that was now introducing the second generation Adam. There was an Adam kind here prior to Genesis 1:1. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you don't have any scriptural evidence. Well, it talks about worlds, not world. There is other worlds that the Bible would acknowledge, and if you will acknowledge other worlds, then what we're trying to say is this, that the flood that covered was original flood, because the word erat, where it's used in the flood covered all of the earth, that is a misnomer, and it's not applicable to that statement that the earth endured a flood basically 6+ miles high, because the result, if the water covered all the face of the earth at this present state, it would take 6 miles of water to do it, straight up. And there's no way, scientifically, reasonable. You say, oh, now God can do anything. Well, he can't. Why? The translators or translators can, and what they've done, they come in here and change the power of the word. See, word, a soft word, even a soft word the Bible teaches will break a bone. So the word's powerful, sharper than quicker than any two-edged sword. But if it's been defiled, like Satan defiled the word not in Genesis 3, and convinced the woman to partake of the forbidden fruit, which was the fruit of the seed that the serpent had in his loins. See, the snake had power to progenitate and to get out a seed, and the woman saw that it was to make her wise. In other words, to create a bloodline for her and this mighty, wonderful, magnificent, all-powerful, almost, angel that was perfect. Or that she thought so. And the Bible said he was perfect until iniquity was found within him. So now if you look at that scripture in relationship to become, the earth became in a fallen state. The earth became in a darkened state. The earth became fallen. And you say, well, but the Bible says that Adam was the first man. No, it don't. You say the Bible says that Father was Adam, the father of all living. No, it don't. It doesn't say that. It simply does not say that Adam was the father of all living. It says that Eve was the mother of all living. But now what does that mean? There is a people that live here that are not ever living, are not eternal ones. These are natural brute beasts taken to be destroyed in the fire. They do not have eternal longevity as living ones. Christ alluded to them as walking sepulchres or grave full of dead men, dead matter. Now, what does that mean in relationship to the word that is related to the interchanges here? It came to pass that Caesar Augustus taxed all the world. It didn't say that. It just didn't say that. Just like it didn't say that Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. You say, well, it says that because that's what the Bible said. I can read it right there. Just what you read in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean that it was that which was spoken by the prophets of old and acclaimed as prophecy and put down. There is some things in the Bible that is written that really is not of God. I mean, if you look at what the scribe said, Christ warned us to beware of what the scribe said. Well, what's the difference between what the scribe said and what the prophet said? Well, the scribes were those who had authority under the Sanhedrin relationship back to the theocratical government of Israel. They had the authority to change the original prophets, or let me rephrase that. They were supposed to translate verbatim, with not one jot or tittle changing. But Christ warned us to beware of them, and scribes translate or copy the Bible from one language and to another language and from one book or scroll to the other. And Christ said, beware of them. It was the scribes that said that Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, not the prophet. The prophet said something different, but they quoted the prophet, but in sense, in truth, they misquoted the prophet. Now, you got to catch that. And if you go back to Genesis 1 and 2 here, you'll find the word was void and dark, meaning that it was created that way, and it wasn't created that way, and Adam was not the first man. Adam was a replenisher of something that was already here prior to Genesis 1 and 1. The Bible says so. Be fruitful and replenish. That means replace something that was here. Take the place of something that existed before. Was there a fallen earth age before this present age to another age, and is this the third successive earth age, and are we coming now to the end of the third age, which gets us to the third dimension in the earthly realm, third dimension down. Fourth dimension is where these angelic beings that fail exist and live. The astral world, where all these demonic demons live and deceive, they have the ability to reach out into the third dimension and influence the thought of man. That's why the Bible said, pray that you be not led into temptation. That temptation comes from the third dimensional element and at specific times with authorization. Angels can step out of the fourth dimension and manifest in third dimensional physical bodies of flesh and blood, and they can eat and enjoy and advise and suggest or correct or lead either truly or falsely from that dimension. Now, the good angels live in the fifth dimension, and the bad angels live in the fourth. There is a veil, there is a gut, there is a separation. It's a separation of dimension principles rather than physical relationship of distance. And I don't know how to explain that any better than the quantum physics of the reality of these dimensions that exist in three-dimensional form, meaning that there's three Earth ages already been successively joined here upon this third-dimensional planet, and we're coming to the end of the third age of this Earth. And the fourth age to come, Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23, will explain to you that there is a fourth age coming, a new eon, if you will, a new beginning, a new millennium of peace and joy, love, and it's the fourth dimensional shift which will bring the fourth commandment into play. Which the fourth commandment is complete rest, and the Bible said, take heed, lest you, having a heart of unbelief, fail to enter into his rest. Oh my, I feel the anointing of the Spirit speaking to someone's heart about this dimensional shift and who's in charge. Now there is a struggle, I'll have to admit and confess to you, to be truthful to you, there is a war going on right now for these dimensional purposes, or for these ages of Earth. There is a war being waged above our head, in the heavens, wherever this dimensional area of existence is. It's real. It's not a figment of our imagination. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's nobody to prevent you from being saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit and washed and redeemed and regenerated. There's nothing to keep you from that. But there is so much deception, so many minefields to wade through, so many mental processes to be gauged and placed in proper perspective. So much deception laying there, as you call the infiltration course of the spiritual. The Bible said we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and wickedness in high places. Powers and principalities and high places. What are these high places? Dimensions above you. You say, well, I can see all the way to the sun and the moon. Is that a dimension? That is an illusionary existence of created for the substructure of the correction of the fall and the soul of man. It's a form of block into these third dimensional realms of physical laws that defy what the spirit man, who had no define, who had no restrict him, as it says in Job 1. What are you doing here, Job? From going to and fro in the earth. He had expressed liberty to go to and fro. You could too, because there is an inward man, an inward dimension, a spirit man, if you will, that is present with you, and your flesh body It's attached to it some way. It's tied with the silver cord it speaks about in the book of Ecclesiastics. And when that cord is severed, it takes this long journey. Or when it's utilized and used properly in sequence, dimensional sequence, and vibrational response to the vibrations. When you get in tune with the vibrations of the frequency of the dimension that the mighty ones dwell in, you can enter there with the silver cord attached, and it has no limitations on its extension to whatever level that you would like to enter into. And as the Bible says, in one sense, it's like a series of falling. It's a fearful thing to fall. Well, in a sense, you don't fall. You enter to a dimensional vibration that is so fearful that it caused John to shake on his bones when he went into the place that we now are headed or trying to head to or hoping to gain, which is heaven. Well, is heaven a place far out there? Well, the Bible teaches in the 17th chapter of Luke, verse 20, that the kingdom of heaven is within you. So it's near you. It's not far from you. It's not out there. It's in there. Christ, not out there, as some people have. He said they'll run out to the desert, they'll look up, and they'll look for him away up there, and they won't find him. They'll search for him out there, but they won't find him. Why? Because in the inner universe of your very soul, your very being, is a dimensional force that is vibrating right now and can be contacted or made contact with to enter into the dimensions that I'm speaking about. Except it be for the fall or the darkness. See, we fear darkness. But I mean, I'm telling you, I'm almost 70 years old, and I'm still afraid of the dark. I really am. You're a grown man, way over 200 pounds, 6 foot tall, and yet there's some. It's not the physical thing that I'm afraid of. You have a right to be afraid of those things because. You know, you go wandering around in the dark or go down the wrong street at the wrong time at the wrong place, you may wind up in this dimension I'm talking about before your time comes. But I'm talking about the psychological fear. The fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living ones or to be in their presence or when they come to visit you. You say angels can visit you? Oh, yes. Is it happening now? Oh, yes. Now, in the seventh phase of our fallen angel, we will try to get into angelic visitations and the results and the consequences of those visitations. I'm telling you, one visit out of the body is worth 10,000 visits in a body. Now, let me repeat that. One voyage, let me put it, I'll say visit, one voyage out of the body to visit the inward kingdoms that is laid up for you, up. Now, when it says fearful thing to fall in, it's just like you have to release, to let go of the flesh man, put him in neutral parking. It's like most Christians go into the church today, they park their brain in the foyer where they hang their hat. And they sit there and they're indoctrinated or fed these things that seem right as opposed to the things that are right. And one of those things is that the earth was void and dark when Yahweh created it, and it wasn't so. It became that way. Adam was not the first man to inhabit earth. If we look at the history of Adam in our genealogy here, Adam is less than 6,000 years old. So it's only been less than 6,000, or a little over 6,000, that Adam was here walking here. And he walked here for almost 1,000 years, according to the scriptures. And remember, 1,000 years is one day to Yahweh, and remember, he was to die on the day that he ate it, and the day that he ate it, he didn't die. He lived many years after that. Matter of fact, he lived to be 930 years old, but he did die before he was 1,000, which was being that day. So one day is with Yahweh 1,000 years. So what we've got here is a conglomerate block of Yahweh's ways as opposed to the way we've been trained to think, and because of misappropriation of English words from the Hebrew original, that Hebrew original is 1961 there, which should be became. And look it up in your songs, you'll find it. There is no word appropriate for was in that word that was there original. See, the English is a replacement for the original word that was there original. So if we would put back the word or translate it at least correctly and put become or became, then we would have it correct. The earth was perfect when he created. Yahweh is perfect. He don't create something that is void and dark and without form. When he speaks, all he has to do is speak it into existence, and he speaks perfection. It is something else that brings in the darkness and the voidness of the perfection or the perversion of that which is perfected. See, Satan is not a creator. He can create nothing, but he can certainly pervert or turn that which was created of light and goodness and blessing into a curse and darkness. And that's exactly what he done in Genesis 1 and 1 and 2. He watched and behold, the sons of Yahweh shouted for joy. Satan was right there as the chief archangel. And then there was a fall. And then there was a cleansing of that earth age. Part of 1 and 1, Genesis. Then the reintroduction of the Adamic race. Adam was a replacement for the sons of Yah that were here. And remember, there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible said, for what is to be, what is to be future, along with the present, has already been in the past. Now, that's awesome. The Bible speaks of worlds, not world, not on earth. We're not alone. We can look in heaven and see other planets, and to think that they're not inhabited will be vain and really ignorant of our ability to think and reason that Yahweh is not limited to the earth. Heaven is his throne. Earth is just a footstool. And for us to think that we are the only ones here, you know, man is so pride in himself with his intellect and in his intelligence. And we can run computers now and have them think for us rather than think ourselves, which the mind, when it's correctly plugged in the brain, when we're using and functioning within the realm of the capacity of the brain, we're only operating on about, we're at about 10% of our brain capacity. Only 10% is being utilized and used. What happened to the other portion of the brain? Something's disconnected it. What happened to the other 10 tribes? Was 12 union a perfect circle government? Is the brain encased in the form of man? Is the higher mode, the cranium, the encasement where this gray matter exists and has these many nerve endings to let our mind function faster than the fastest computer? And ladies and gentlemen, did you know that now that one little microchip that they can store on one chip a complete library that would fill a stadium full of books? It's incredible. Yet the mind is more powerful, potentially more powerful, and has the ability to think faster and reason much more better than a programmed computer full of chips. And your microprocessor, your brain is not a micro. It is a maxo compressor and compositor. I mean, you can deposit the mind if it's working on its full function. How do you think that Adam, the first man, how do you think that he knew all the biology, the chemistry, however animal, how every microscopic insect, winged creatures, funny, fuzzy little worms, bugs. He knew in the eco chain what related to what and what it should be named and what its causes were. He had all that ability in his mind, and he is the one that gave the names, not Yahweh, but Adam named all of the species of the different various points in the earth. The botany, the plant life and the vegetation life and, and the microscopic worms and oh my heavens, I mean, you could go to billions and trillions of things that he would have to think of or to know. What process done to stand has on part six now. That should be part seven, because this is part six that we're doing tonight. What we're trying to say is this, that someone is tampered with the product. Has Satan caused the second fall in Genesis? We know that Yahweh and his angels came down to behold what was going on earth. And what did he find? He found these angelic beings, these super dupers, here miscegenating, mixing, cross-blooding, in a big in-house orgy, if you will. And it was very displeasing to our Father and the Mighty Ones that, under his command. And so what did he do? Well, he abandoned the ones that Adam had produced and destroyed them, overflowed them with water. He said, well, I thought that the whole earth wasn't destroyed with water. It wasn't. Well, how did he destroy Adam's sons? They lived in a particular region of the earth. But it says that the plagues, the lice in Egypt, that Yahweh brought a plague on, and it said, and they covered the face of the earth. Well, that word face is wrong, because the English, it gives us the idea that lice crawl all over the earth. The North Pole, South Pole, whatever pole, down in this valley, this canyon, and all over the earth. Approximately 25,000 miles all over the earth, it was full of lice. That's not true. It was a region of Egypt that the lice covered the land. It was a region dogs came up and covered the land. It was regional. Other people lived, other people survived, and other people didn't have these plagues. It was too far and about the house of Israel, and because of them, a small people upon the earth, that Yahweh demonstrated his power in the earth, not all over the earth. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, 2 Peter rather, 3, 4 and 5, we have this interesting scripture that it says Peter made this statement, that the earth at the time of Noah was standing out of the water and in the water. Now, how could that be? The earth was, well, it wasn't covered, the whole earth wasn't covered. It only covered the Tarim Basin, this large bowl. If you look at Earth from space, you'll see in the Mesopotamian Valley, it's a giant bowl that comes down the southern slopes of the Himalayas and it spreads down into the Mesopotamian Valley, where the original Garden of Eden supposedly was. And here it is, where the sons of Adam were multiplying. Now, they didn't cover the hill, but remember, they had other races of people in Europe. The Chinese dynasty, the recorded history, goes back for thousands and thousands of years. And they have no history of a blood. Other races that were here prior to Adam, they didn't write about a flood. There was no flood. This flood was specifically two, four, and about one race of people, and this race of people was starseed people. Now, I'm going to repeat this. Christ came to rescue the star people. These people that came from the stars that were to replenish the earth got trapped, bound, if you will. This experiment has failed miserably, just like our experience in Iraq. I mean, we went in there and subdued a ill-equipped army. We overran the Iraqis. They were not trained, elite. Our tanks, could outmaneuver. We had radar. We had planes that controlled the sky. And we had precision bombs. We could drop one down a stove stack from 30,000 feet. All we have to do is lock on the target and let guidance systems direct the bomb right down the chimney. And it wasn't no Saint Nick coming to visit. It was death and destruction and awesome fire power from the sky. And in this case, we have become our experiment of Genesis 1:1 and prior to Genesis 1:1, the first world that perished. And we're now a microcosm, if you will. We're reprieve. We're playing this thing all over again. There's nothing new under this heaven that we're experiencing now. What is to be has already been. They were eating and drinking and being married before Genesis 6. The earth failed before that age of Adam. We were introduced to Adam here. All of the books and all of the revelations and all the mysteries that were written, that should have been written, the earth itself doesn't contain the books that we could talk about this manifestation of the beauty and the joy unspeakable and the full of glory and the things that's laid up and the depository of knowledge that belongs to the mighty ones who have severed their DNA connection. We're going to talk about how the angelic beings, approximately 12 to 14 to 15,000 years ago, on up to a period of probably, as much as 2,000 years back, that they wreak havoc with the DNA process. Tampering, fusing, experimenting, abducting, and all these things that are happening now have already happened in the past and will happen again and will only magnify on the scale of happening. And yet the spiritual people, the star people, the ones who deserve, the inner kingdom people, the people that know that there is life beyond the flesh man, that the flesh man is just a vehicle, and he is the low downest piece of rotten humanity that was ever existed. We are, no wonder the Bible said we're filthy rags in a flesh body before his presence. It is the spirit man that Yahweh is after. He's not after this corrupt, carnal flesh man. Dress him up, wash him the best you can. He's still filthy rags. You can fast, I'm telling you, you can fast or you can't walk, and I've done it. They still don't make you a righteous man. It is the goodness and the spirit of a man that makes him the tree that he is. You either make the tree good with a good spirit, or you make the tree bad with a bad spirit, and they're not interchangeable, ladies and gentlemen. A devil cannot become a saint, and a saint cannot become a devil in the spirit. If you go against the spirit man and the wishes of the spirit man that's within you, and you are of Yahweh would destroy your flesh body and save your soul with the fire of the Holy Ghost. He'll keep you to the appointed time, and he ain't going to lose none. He will make sure he redeems every sheep, everything that came out of the heaven that had his name stamped on them, that they was his property. Oh, yes, Satan is, he's hindered, delayed, deceived, misled. We've all been there. Most of us have dwelled in sin, and most of us are still in it, to be truthfully honest with you. None good, no, not one. We've all come short. But for the Spirit's sake, and except it had been for the Spirit's sake, we'd all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened when Lot's wife looked back? She was turned into a pillar of salt. She wasn't a pillar of salt. When she come out of Sodom, she was a salvageable, savable, at least she had the opportunity. But by looking back, and the Bible said it specifically reminds us to remember Lot's wife. He that puts his hands to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You must get into the deeper realm of the spirit things. I'm telling you, if you just pick up a Mormon Bible, all you got to do to really realize that we've got a history here prior to the Indians and Columbus discovering America in 1492, that's absurd. To say that there was nobody here prior to 1492, there is a history here. If you just pick up a Mormon book, it was translated correctly out of the plates that Joseph Smith was inspired to find. But what happened to Joseph Smith? Well, Joseph wouldn't recognize the church if he came back to it. The things that he taught and practiced is not practicable, or it's not permissible today. The Mormon church had to relent and give in and change and alter. Started out okay. Telling the history about the United States of America, this great wilderness country of a 12-tribe nation that lived here, which was ancient Israel, with 27 sites that these people were Hebrews, and that they were transplants from the original land of where they started from, over in the area of Bethel. In the province where the birthright people came from, and they became Caucasians, and they crossed the Caucasus Mountains and became the great Caucasian people of the earth to inhabit and bless, instead of that with miscegenated, crossbred, fail, love sin, love evil, cling to that which is evil and shun that which is good. And when the prophets cry out against their sins, it's just like the prophets of old. We are mistreated, misrepresented, because the Bible and the word changes here has got us to a disadvantage, and we have to overcome the devaluation of the word of some text of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in for a major overhaul. We're in for some astounding revelations. We're in the time when Satan and his crafty ones, these beings from some other planet system, who are out in the deep, the Bible said, they were chained, bound, and restricted to stay out there through the war. But then the time would come that the chain would be cut and the restraining order would be lifted, and Satan and his angels would come back to planet Earth, and there was a war pronounced three times upon the planet and its inhabitants. For Satan is coming down, and he will appear, as the Christian church has done, got it set up, for a rapture. It'll be more like a capture. And Satan will sit in the temple that has been built for him as I speak. And he'll sit in a region called the spiritual city of God, Jerusalem, which it's not. That's Sodom, where Christ was crucified. It's not a holy city. The one that we're talking about is going to come later. But Satan will come and he'll fake everything and deceive a lot of the elect and have them eaten out of his hand. And brother will be to a brother in that day, and Daniel 12 and 1 through 4 will come into play. So you need to read, you need to study, you need to pray, you need to get ready, you need to have some experiences of these vibrational frequencies, and try to fuse back, if you will, a few of the DNA cross links that has been disconnected from your very being to restore that which the cankerworm and the caterpillar has destroyed. And that's what Adam was. He was a restorer. He was a replenisher of something that existed here prior to him, and it must have been in his same image, because we have the same genetic application, and we are the sons of God. We are not only the offspring, or the offspring of David, which Christ was, but he was the progenitor of David. He was the root of David. That means he established the bloodline of David prior to David coming. Before, David became a Christ bloodline, but the Christ bloodline was existing before it was. For in the beginning was. That's past tense. That's correctly translated. In the beginning was the Word. And that Word is the power of the building blocks of the genetic application of his bloodline into their starseed people, ladies and gentlemen. That's who he's coming back after. Two for and only about the starseed. He's coming back for starseed. It's that simple. Those that who are not of this earth. It's that simple. Those who are strangers and pilgrims. Man, I feel like preaching tonight. I gotta get off here, though. My time is just blown away and coming down, so I'll just have to say in the Spanish tongue, adios, amigos, and we'll see you tomorrow night on 100.1 FM. Your voice through the great region of Idaho, the alternative station, the truth station, where you'll hear more truth per hour than you hear on regular commercial fed, if you will, where you have to pay a fee to a lot of the people to sell them something that'll destroy their bellies and to get them drunk and everything. All this is commercial feeding on the mass of induction of hypnotic sublingual suggestion of evil and continuous mind altering nirvana thought process. I mean, you know, they tell you lies and feed you candy. Here you'll get some truth. And then we're uplinked around the world, and anybody that has a computer can pick us up anywhere. We're broadcast on broadband out of microbroadcasters.com. We're glad to have you. I'm live and direct. This is Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to write me, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live. It's the 20th. We're live here. If you'd like to call me, you can call area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email me, you have access to a computer and you're listening somewhere, and you've happened to come across microbroadcasters.com and you've hooked in to computer download, well, we welcome you to the Shepherd's Hall, and you can email me tonight by simply emailing buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale, CenturyTale.net. buddy1@centurytale.net. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get the old Dixie Fight song and, you know, bring it on here. Praise Yahweh. And remember, as we remember the Alamo, we'll remember Dixie. I'm going to go to the hospital.